Geekaholics, it's the Red Table Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Synthaholics. This is your weekly episode of, well, it's usually Star Trek, but we tend to dip our toes into things outside of the Star Trek world. I am, obviously, Holly Michelle, and we don't have Aaron with us today. He's nursing his sick widow family. But
his
I do
sick widow
have
family?
His sick widow family.
Little, not widow.
Not widow.
No.
Well, that's Dave, if you didn't know.
Hello. Long time no talk.
Yeah. And with Dave, I'm actually really excited about this. With Dave is my very, very dear friend. And, you know, Dave likes her too, but more important, Kaylee is here. You guys don't know Kaylee, but go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
Kaylee is my friend. Dave just, you know, he loves her and stuff.
Yeah, we talked about, I mentioned her probably on that Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, I'm sure you did. Yeah, you did.
Because she's my fiancé and all that stuff.
All that, yeah. Your F word, if you will.
I'm your F word too, though. Just a different F word.
Oh, that's dirty.
Right.
I wasn't invited to this F word thing.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning into the show. If you have a mind to share that you're listening to the Synthaholics, you can tag us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo, and you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics or search for Synthaholics Podcasts. We discuss articles and we have group conversations, Trek news, memes, all that fun stuff. But again, we are not talking Star Trek today. David, what are we talking today?
We are wrapping up The Mandalorian.
Yes, we are!
This is Holly's first time talking about it, Kaylee's first time talking about it, and I missed the second talk about it with Robbie and Aaron. So I want to talk about some of my favorite parts of some of the previous episodes. But first, we should just wrap up with what to get everyone caught up to where we are, and then we can just kind of discuss the season and our thoughts on it.
Yeah. So we're going to go through the last two that we have. We've got The Reckoning and Redemption. So Redemption. We're going to go through those as briefly as I can.
We all know you wear briefs, Holly. We're good.
Very briefs. Alrighty, give me one second here, guys.
Adjusting them briefs.
Yes. Alright, so if you guys have been listening to the Synthaholics in order, a couple of weeks ago we did a couple episodes of The Mandalorian, and then we did a couple more, and now we're finishing it up. We have The Reckoning here. So here's where we are. So Mando gets a call from Greef Karga, and he knows something's up because he pitches this plan where together they take out the Imperial piece of shit who wants the child. And then he's going to clear Mando's name with the guild. So Mando knows.
We're going to believe everything Carl Weathers says.
Right. He knows this shit's a trap. So he goes and gets Cara Dune, the shock trooper. And I think that he's called an Ognaut, but his name's Queel.
The Ognaut, I have spoken.
Ognaut. One, he gets them for firepower, and the other to watch the child.
I will bring the Blargs. The Blargs must come. There's no exceptions.
I have spoken.
If Blargs do not come, I do not come.
Right. And I do love how he was just like, fuck it, whatever.
And then IG-11 walks in.
Well, yeah, so Quill found the dead IG unit from episode one, and he rebuilds and reprograms him to be a nurse age, which I found really funny because he must have assumed that Mando would eventually return needing assistance, and so he made this nurse aide. But Mando agrees to allow the droid to come only because he trusts in Quill.
There's just one thing I wonder. I wish they would have, like, established how long the season takes place over. Because, like, Quill's, like, recap of getting IG-11, teaching him how to, like, walk and talk and do everything, that seems like it would have taken a really long time. And I feel like the season's only been, like, a couple days.
Yeah, well, events. I mean, space travel's not instant, even though they go very far in a very short period of time.
In Star Wars, so it maybe seems almost instant, but
yeah, that's true.
But there's no like, it could be weeks in between episodes. We just don't really know.
Yeah, sometimes they throw little hints in there of how long things have gone. Like, I don't know, I'm catching up on the Mayans, and like, this lady wasn't pregnant. Now she's almost due. So like, they throw in little things that maybe we didn't pick up on.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But anyway, so they head to the rendezvous. What's that?
The Blargs are pregnant.
The Blargs are pregnant. Well, we wouldn't know what their gestation period is anyway.
I've spoken.
So they head to rendezvous with Greef on Nevarro, and in transit we see the child use the Force on Kara when she and Mando are arm wrestling. I figured we could bring this up here because it was one of those moments that breaks the story. Yeah. Well, I loved that he was protecting, and we've seen him protect Mando this entire time, even though Mando didn't realize that's what he was doing, but it was just so cute to see it happen. And then
to see her almost kill Cara Dune. Death by force, baby.
Right. Right. So they arrive on Nevarro and meet up with Greef and his quote-unquote security detail, a.k.a. his goons, where they set off to kill the imp. So they build a fire, you know, long day of walking, they build a fire, and they're attacked by these dragon pterodactyl creatures.
But first someone says, nothing can go wrong.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, they're like,
then they get attacked by the talking dragons.
And Mando's like, so what if that doesn't happen? He's like, but it will happen. He's like, what if it doesn't? And he goes, nothing will go wrong. And this fucking bird creature comes by and slashes his arm. It's hilarious. Well, that went wrong.
The Blargs were taken away. I have spoken.
Yeah, two of them. So they kind of get them to go away, but one guy's dead. Two of the Blargs are gone, and Greef's arm is hurt, and the child uses the Force to heal his arm, which makes him reconsider double-crossing Mando. So the next day,
he admits
to it by shooting his goons, and then he pitches an actual plan to take out the imp. I'm just like, man, how many times are people going to realize, like, when are they going to realize they can't just continue to lie to Mando? Like, he's not stupid. I don't know.
He's got lie-detecting goggles in his maybe.
So the new plan is they're going to cuff Mando and send Quill back to the ship with the child, and they're going to go through town and to have a one-on-one with the Imperial POS.
Yeah. They built an armored baby carriage so they could hide the baby, just make it look like the baby's there without him being there.
I don't know if that was planned when that was created, or if that was a split decision, like, take the child. Because he says take the child back, but he doesn't say leave the carrier. And I actually had that thought. I was like, I wonder if they planned this the whole time. So, I don't know. But it would have been smart to have multiple if they could have, you know? So the baby was always protected? I don't know.
Well, I don't think the carrier moves fast enough to evacuate as fast as they wanted to.
Well, that's a very good point.
I mean, even whenever he was like on the Sandcrawler, the carrier was following. It just was going very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It took like an hour to catch up.
This is true.
And Sandcrawlers don't move that fast.
It was a pretty, pretty funny portion of that episode. Just comes beeping up. So anyway, they go have a one-on-one meetup with this guy, and it obviously goes south.
Because there's a lot more than five stormtroopers in there. He's like, there's going to be five. It'll be easy. You guys can take out five without thinking about it. There's like 20 in there.
Well, there were a bunch in the compound. There were four inside, and then a fifth one comes in. And then Moff Gideon shows up after he calls him. He's a higher up, you know, one of them big wigs. And he orders a strike on the Imperial officer who we all know and love who to hate. Up.
Oh, yeah. Mister, I've got to speak like a raspy old man voice, man. I liked him a lot. He was a good bad guy. And they just
he was a good bad guy.
Unceremoniously by another bad guy.
Well, it is the way.
this is the way.
So after that, a fleet of stormtroopers arrive, and Mando radios to Queel that he needs to get back to the ship as soon as possible and get off planet with the child. The channel is not secure, and two stormtroopers on speed bikes set out to intercept them. Moff Gideon, you know, comes out and he addresses the team, which I'm referring to as, you know, Greef, Mando, and Kara. So he addresses them and threatens them
a really, really, really long time to make up their mind.
He gives them a freaking day. So he threatens them with that he's going to about to take possession of the child, the thing that he wants. And Mando's, you know, frantically radioing Queel, even though his frantic is like not our frantic. He's just like, he's cool about it, but he's like,
come on, answer. Pick up the phone.
But we see that Queel was killed and the child is snatched by stormtroopers. And that is the end of that episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then the episode opens the best way an episode could open, where the two biker troopers are trying to shoot a can and they can't hit it from 5 feet away.
It is a funny scene. So Redemption opens up and you've got Mando and the team pinned down and the child's been abducted. And this has some controversy around it. This is where we see Baby Yoda bashed and punched by the stormtroopers. It is a very comedic scene, not for the baby punching. It actually made me really look forward to some of the coming episodes of Star Trek's Lower Decks, because I'm hoping that it's going to be very similar, you know?
Just like people trying to shoot things and missing.
No, but, you know, they're sitting there on their bikes and they're like, he's like, let me just look at it. And he's like, did you not just hear that he killed an officer just because he wanted to? Like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, that was a great dialogue between stormtroopers.
It was fun.
Like, you get to see they're actually people, which is great.
Yeah, I feel like this show does that a lot. But yeah, so it was a very funny scene. And they do. They're sitting on their speed bikes trying to shoot a can. Well, one of them just is like bored because he can't see the baby or the thing that's in the sack, and he just starts shooting. And the other one's like, I guess I'll give it a try. What, you can't hit that? Stupid.
So, bad.
So at this point, they're, you know, they're fucking with Baby Yoda. I just want to call him the child because I don't like calling him Yoda, but they're fucking with this kid, and one of them punches it, and the GI unit shows up, and he breaks the arm of one of them, kills or maybe just injures the other, which is great, and takes the child on the speed bike. Meanwhile, still pinned down, Mando tells the team that the Mandalorians have the sewers that run under the city or town or whatever, what have you. But they can't get the grate off of the sewer vent, so they're ultimately stuck.
This is the most hard to get into sewer ever invented. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would be so screwed at this point.
This is true.
Man, I can't get my pizza, man.
So Moff Gideon taunts them and reveals Mando's real name, which is Din Djarin. Mando realizes that this is Moff Gideon, which he just didn't know at that point, but we did because he was addressed in the end of last episode. And we find out that he was allegedly executed for war crimes, so he's not even supposed to be alive. He gives them an ultimatum of death or surrender, but then offers no assurance that they would live even if they surrendered.
He's like,
which is not really how you negotiate, am I right?
Yes. He's okay. Very good at negotiating. He should have mentioned meth and chicken. That might have got them out.
It's like, oh my god. So this is when he gives them until nightfall to surrender or die.
It's a really long time.
It's a long time to surrender. I mean, I guess we don't know how long nightfall is. It could have been 10 minutes. It could have been 3 hours. I was assuming it was like 3 hours. I'm like, that's a long time.
It seemed like a long time.
Yeah. So, and then we get to hear the story about how Mando became a Mandalorian, which we kind of already knew that he was a foundling from episode 1 or 2 when he and the armorer were talking.
Well, in episode 1 and episode 3, wherever we get glimpses of that past both times, yeah, he was getting armor forged for him.
Right. Yeah. So we kind of already knew that, but we got to see the entire memory, which was nice, which is cool. Not nice. It was a very terrible memory. I'm so sorry. But he's a foundling. Moving on.
It's such a nice memory, like the one you want to have of being impaled on all the sorts of rebar as you die. That's like your ideal death, as you described to us in The Matrix. You're like, yeah, that's really peaceful. I'm like, that doesn't sound peaceful.
She went peacefully. She was at peace, is what I mean. I don't mean that that was a peaceful way to die. She went in peace. It's fine.
Oh, okay, because I was just struck me as really funny that you were just like, yeah, that's a peaceful way to go. Just like being a Swiss cheese rebar person.
No, you're silly. Yeah. So yeah, the IG unit informs them over the comms that Quill's been killed. And then he blasts through town with a child on his back to reunite it with Mando and the team, which is obviously the safest place for him, right? In a bag, on his back, in a firefight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the best place for a force-using baby.
Yeah, yeah. But he takes out many stormtroopers, and Mando and Kara join in the fight. Big fight scene, you know, not a lot of fight scenes, a lot of shooting happens. This is the shootout of the episode. Mando's blown up. And the team has to retreat back into the bar that they started in, and Gideon orders that they're burned out.
Flamethrower trooper.
Yes, yes, the fire brigade. Bring in a fire brigade!
And Baby Yoda throws the fire back on him.
Yeah, well, this is where the IG unit starts working on the grate. He starts cutting into that. Mando's dying and refuses aid. His only concern being the trial of safety. Yeah, well, I mean, that was stubborn but honorable. I mean, that's his creed, his code that he lives by. So he refuses aid, but fire is coming, the grate isn't yet open, and he's still dying. He requests that they take the child and Mando's necklace, which has the signet of the armorer. I'm not sure if that's the clan's signet.
That's the signet of the Mandalorians.
Is it all Mandalorians? Because it looked like it was personal, like, being that he gets his signet later, it seems like they would all be different.
Well, the Mandalorian signet, I mean, like, that signet seems like it's the beast with all its flesh on. I think the regular Mandalorian signature, like, the logo is, like, more the skull of that creature.
It's a different.
It's the same shape. It's just like one's a skull and one's like got flesh on it, I think.
Well, so the signet that it is, it's I can't remember what beast it is, but it's got tusks going down, two tusks going down.
Yeah.
And it's full skull, no flesh, and then his signet becomes the, well, we'll talk about that later, but that one, you can't really see much of it, but it looks like a skull as well. I just figured that this signet was for the armorer, but if we don't know, we don't know. I don't know.
It's the same signet as every time he went down to the armorer.
Yes, but it's always her thing. But maybe it is all, but it's not on him anywhere.
Yeah, he refused the signet.
Well, yeah, but they're all different. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just not sure
I think there's a personal one, and I think there's the Mandalorian one. He denies
and
personal.
And you think that one is the Mandalorian one?
Yeah, that's the Mandalorian one.
Okay, well, cool. I'll buy it. But he sends them with it into the sewers and tells them to find the Mandalorians while he stays behind. And obviously there's debate about it, but the stormtrooper shows up with the flamethrower, and baby Yoda, the child, uses the Force to not only hold the fire back, but then he returns to sender, which was pretty cool.
Yes.
And like, with a flick of the wrist.
I was waiting for him to heal Mando, but he just does the flamethrower thing, and so I was like, huh.
Yeah, I was waiting for that as well. But as
my expectations have been subverted.
So as baby Yoda, as the child, flicks this stormtrooper away, the grate is finally opened, and the IG unit stays back to be with Mando, to guard him. And being that the droid is not a living being, Mando allows it to remove his helmet to aid him, in which he heals him. So, but he makes a funny joke here. I can't remember. He talks about his core processor or something, and Mando's like, do you mean my brain? And it's like, yeah, I was attempting to make a joke make you laugh or to be humorous or something.
It was really funny when Kaylee and I watched this. She was so underwhelmed when she saw The Mandalorian.
Underwhelmed?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Iron Man, he's, you know, much better looking. And I don't know, like, he looks like a really good, like, superhero. And The Mandalorian was just very... Oh.
Kaylee hasn't seen Game of Thrones, and I know Pedro Pascal.
I was going to say, do you know what he looks like in real life without all that blood on him?
No. I don't even recognize the actor's show to show.
Oh.
He's a bisexual pretty boy in Game of Thrones. He goes either way.
He's very handsome. He's in other things, too. He's in...
Narcos?
I never watched Narcos.
I only seen a little bit of it. I haven't watched. I don't think I ever got to his character. He wasn't in the first episode, I don't think.
I hated his character in Kingsman: The Golden Circle, Kaylee. But did you seen that, right?
Yeah. Who is he?
Yeah, he's Whiskey.
Who's Whiskey?
Whiskey is the one that the one that goes bad.
Oh.
With the whip.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I hated his character.
No, that's Channing Tatum.
No, Channing was tequila. Don't question my Kingman knowledge, please, because it's not that great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's Whiskey. I didn't care for him. He was kind of an ass. But he is a very handsome guy. But yeah, he...
To who?
Apparently to Holly.
Show her a picture of him from Game of Thrones. He's handsome. He is. And his voice is amazing. And that changes things.
He looked like a hobo who came off the streets when he took off his helmet in the Baby Yoda show.
The Baby Yoda show.
So, you're going to laugh.
Well.
So, the other day I was asking David... No, I don't. I was asking David a question about the Mandalorian, and I couldn't think of the name of the Mandalorian, so I just typed into Google Baby Yoda show.
Did you get some really weird Japanese thing?
Or tentacles?
No, I found it.
No tentacles?
No, he does not look good.
Okay, whatever.
He looks...
Oh, this is how he looks in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm showing her a picture of his eyes getting... his skull getting crushed in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, beautiful. well, you know, even if he is not your cup of tea, I think it actually is great that he's not like this glorious pretty boy, because... You know, there's a lot in this show that...
To you, he's a glorious pretty boy. To Kaylee, he is not. This is interesting.
No, I'm just saying, there's a lot in this show that makes you kind of feel like you're immersed in this world, makes you very interested, and makes you feel like this is really what's happening behind the scenes of all these big movies and all this stuff. I don't know. I think I liked that he wasn't like this glorious pretty boy. I'm not saying that he's not attractive. I'm just saying, yeah, he's not like
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah,
he could be though.
So yeah, we see.
Kaylee was expecting to be Robert Downey Jr.
I was kind of hoping.
I wasn't sure what I was imagining. I don't think I was imagining anybody under there.
I was imagining Pedro Pascal because I knew it was Pedro Pascal.
Well, there you go. So from here,
I was imagining Keira Knightley under there.
What?
I was imagining Keira Knightley under there.
Oh yeah, you know, I was like, so in the first episode, I was like, you know, that's kind of a feminine walk. Is it a chick with like a voice thing going on? And I was like, nah.
Pedro Pascal swings both ways in Game of Thrones. So
I don't know if it does in real life, but just the way he was walking, I was like, I wonder if it's a female, and it's just like
he's got the swagger.
But no, I didn't realize it's just the way he walks.
Although
so, yeah.
Technically, Pedro Pascal wasn't always playing him. I think they had stand-ins play him at other points in time.
I'm sure that's a necessary thing.
He's got a mask. I mean, you don't ever have to have the same person under there.
Exactly.
Although, to me, he sounds like Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly a lot.
Hmm.
I kept imagining Malcolm Reynolds because it sounded like him sometimes.
I'll have to think of Malcolm the next time I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Because I will watch this again.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like, just he's got the gun-toting, gun-swinger guy like Mal is.
Yeah.
Except armor.
I'll have to listen, and then I'll let you know. But we're getting a little off track. So he's injured, the droid fixes him, and they head into the tunnels. They stumble around for a while, and they finally stumble upon the Mandalorian sanctuary. But all that is left are bits of Mandalorian armor.
And the armor is just like, she's just so hot and horny, just trying to like, oh, I've got all this armor.
Oh, God.
Armor, I don't, the armor.
So that's such an exaggeration there, David. But we do get to see Mando lose his temper and raise his voice, which I liked. The armorer, though, she is the only one left. And she steps in and tells them what happened, and she explains that they were slain by the Imperials after they exposed themselves, saving Mandalorian's ass. She's still there salvaging the parts, I imagine, to keep their history alive. You know, their metal and their tech is very precious to them. She tells them of the Jedi after meeting the child. She then tasks Mando to reunite the child with its own kind, as it is the way of the Mandalorians. She also gives Mando a signet, which is the Mudhorn, if you remember back from, I don't know, probably episode 5? No, 3?
Episode 3 is whenever he comes back and she's like, is this your signet? And he's like, no.
Right, right.
Because I got help from an enemy.
Right. She gives him that, and then she declares that they're a clan. You are a clan up too. Cute. He's thankful and he's honored, and I really like that. Well, but I think he was really, really impressed with. He was okay with the Mudhorn as his signet, I think.
You should have the Baby Yoda as a signet.
What?
You should have Carl Weathers as a signet.
God. Well, moving on. They restock and head down the tunnels to the lava river, but the armorer stays behind and takes down 5 troopers with her tools, which I thought was awesome.
That was great. She used her hammers.
Yeah, she was awesome. And the team gets to the river, and as they're near the end of the river, they realize that a platoon of stormtroopers is flanking the tunnel exit, and so the IG unit elects himself to self-destruct to save their lives, which was another kind of funny moment and callback to episode 1.
Yeah.
But it was fitting because his main function is to protect the child, and this was going to be their best option. And Mando, what's that?
It was their best chance to protect the child.
Yes. And Mando is surprisingly saddened by this and tries to stop him, but there's just not another option. So
Mando's
it walks.
In love.
Aw, dear friends.
He's got a robot boner.
A robot boner?
A robot boner. Yes.
So the unit walks down to the mouth of the river and self-destructs, killing the troopers. And Moff Gideon makes another entrance, flies by, and we get some more comedic relief when Grief tries to persuade the child to do the magic hand thing.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Yoda waves at him.
He's like, So cute. Mando, who has not trained, who was told he needed to train before he put on this jetpack, puts
for
on the jetpack.
Months and months and months.
And Moff Gideon flies by a second time, and he flies up and manages to get on top of the TIE fighter. He plants two bombs after struggling for a little bit, grounding the ship, and he lands himself safely on the ground. And it's like kind of anticlimactic. Kara decides to stay on Nevarro, probably working for Greef, who tries to get Mando to stay and rejoin the guild, but ultimately Mando just takes the child in his arms and they fly back to the ship. Burry and say goodbye to Queel, and the little baby Yoda chews on the necklace. The two of them have a cute exchange about the necklace, and then they fly off. But that's not the end of things. Still not very, climatic, whatever. Very exciting, dramatic. Moff Gideon cuts himself out of the ship and stands atop it triumphantly. Well, and that's the end.
What's important is that he's cutting himself out with the Darksaber. The Darksaber is the first lightsaber made by the first Mandalorian Jedi. And the Darksaber has been stolen back and forth between lots of different factions since its creation.
And somehow Moff Gideon, he had it was the important thing.
Yes, yes. The Darksaber itself being shown here is the cliffhanger. For those who are familiar with the Darksaber.
Cool.
It comes up a lot in Star Wars Rebels, and I think in the Clone Wars it comes up too. And in both of those shows, Mandalorians go around without their helmets all the time, so I'm not sure why the post-Return of the Jedi Mandalorians aren't allowed to take them off.
I don't know. I had all intentions of starting from the very beginning before I watched The Mandalorian, but because I knew Robbie wasn't going to make it this week, I was like, yeah, I'll just watch it now and jump on the show with you guys. And then it's a good thing I did, because then, Aaron had to take care of some stuff. So I'm sad that I don't know that little secret little.
Well, I mean, like, to know all about the. I watched a video on YouTube about the history of the Darksaber. It was like a 20-something minute video chronicling, like, from when it was made into all its appearances in the show, and how many times it's changed hands. And there's I think there's like a 15 or 20 year gap between the last time someone had it and now. So I mean, there's still a lot of history to be known about that particular sword. So gotcha. I mean, like, there's no way you could have like binged like what 6 or 7 seasons of
everything
of Clone Wars plus however many seasons of Star Wars Rebels there are. And I'm sure it only comes up every now and then. It's not like a central focus. It just pops up here and there.
Yeah. Well, I would not have been able to do that in a week, no. But I would have been able to do that and gone blissfully along with my life.
Yeah. I mean, like, that YouTube video, I'll have to look for it again. I'll send it to you. That'll chronicle the history of the Darksaber and why it's important.
I might actually prefer to still start from the beginning and try to find that little bits of information myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just a lot of stuff to go through. That's a lot of seasons.
It is a lot. I want to do it, though. Like, I love Star Trek. And I think I started watching Clone Wars probably back in 2013.
Clone Wars?
And I didn't get very far.
It's really hit and miss for me. Like, I'm not a fan of the animation style in Clone Wars. I don't like how all the men are super angular. Mm-hmm. I like the animation style in Rebels a lot better, where things were a little bit less awkward looking. Mm-hmm. Also, Clone Wars has some really weird, like, chronological issues. Like, some episodes take place like way before other episodes, even though they take place in like later seasons. It's like sort of hard to follow. Unless you have got like a timeline in front of you, because I was watching I watched it up to like the third or fourth season, and then episodes started making no sense at all. I had to look it up, and like apparently these episodes took place like toward the beginning of the series. I was like, "What? Why are they so late?" With like no reference as to why. So like, there's a guide online so you can watch them in the chronological order, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, that I would need that. I am so bad with time that I would need. I need visuals. Yeah. And so if I'm going to watch a show to get information, I definitely would want it in order.
Yeah, you probably should look up one of those guides. But as far as this show, I mean, like, since this is your first time talking about it with us, Holly, what were your overall impressions of The Mandalorian?
Ooh, let me scroll to my... I wrote a little thing. I didn't write a lot because I didn't want to just, like, geek all over you guys. Because I do really like it. But I love Pedro Pascal's voice. I was just like... That voice was amazing, and I don't know. So this character for me is just really likable. He's written to be a badass, yes, but he's got ethics and a moral code, which is both likable and admirable. He's also written to come off as calm, cool, and collected, and maybe not super collected. I feel like he does seem to inwardly doubt his place in the world, even though he's made quite a name for himself. But either way, I loved to see that. Most of the time when you see someone portrayed as confident, it comes off cocky. And I didn't feel the Mandalorian did that. He just comes off as level-headed, even though he's quite passionate about his distrust for droids. It's just wonderful to me. I just absolutely loved him. Whether he was written and directed to play it as such, I don't know. I don't know if it was Pedro's creative decision or he had input. I don't know, but it works. I love the Western feel of the show. You guys know I loved Firefly. I still do. Which Firefly is marketed
as space Western. It feels so much like Firefly.
It's great. I love it. And yeah, this just feels like a space Western to me. You've got outlaws, shootouts, pursuits, backstabbing, not really misfits, but unlikely friends coming together. The music, like, am I wrong here? The show's great.
The show's so well done.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave a chuckle when I was watching the very first episode. I wasn't even very far in. And I said to myself, okay, now I see why Fox is flirting with a Firefly reboot. Those bastards want to ride the tailcoats, the coattails, of the Mandalorian.
Well, it doesn't matter. Fox owns Disney now, so...
but they're going to just ride this off. And I'm like, they said that they would consider a reboot if it can be reinvented for today. And I just don't understand that. The show is great the way it was.
Firefly is great the way it was.
It doesn't need to be reinvented. So, I don't know. That was something I was like, this is why. They say the success of The Mandalorian, and now they're like, okay, we can do Firefly again. Like, fuck you. Like, should have brought it back when we wanted it back.
Like, they should have just never canceled it, but they just never gave a show a chance. Well, that's true. Kaylee and I are going to watch Firefly after we finish watching Jericho. Because Jericho's only 2 seasons. And she likes The Mandalorian. I'm like, if you like The Mandalorian, you should like Firefly, because my biggest complaints about The Mandalorian are basically answered in Firefly. There's a crew, there's recurring characters, there's relationships being built. My biggest issue with this show is that there just isn't any of that. And it was starting to get stale by episode 5 or 6, and then, like, they had the prison break episode, which was just epically awesome. I loved that episode so much. I loved how he was, like, that almost played like a horror movie where he was just, like, sneaking up on people, the lights blinking in and out. It was just great, him taking people down.
It was glorious.
So amazing. Like, it was starting to get stale, then that episode happened, and it was amazing, and I was totally in love with the show again. And then the last 2 episodes were just a great, like, two-parter for ending the show. There's still tons of questions left open. Kaylee, what did you think about The Mandalorian? Since you're not even a Star Wars fan, you've only seen, like, 2 or 3 of the movies.
Yeah. Well, I think it's successful because I generally don't like sci-fi. So I'm sorry for all of you listening who probably hate my guts right now. But for me, I have a really short attention span. And for me to like sci-fi is really difficult because I don't know all of the geekdom. So people who can pay attention to things because they know like background knowledge from other things, it makes no sense to me or I won't get the jokes. So for me to like actually like a show is pretty miraculous. So they have succeeded in that aspect because generally I kind of...
are just not interested.
I'm not interested or I make fun of David relentlessly. Pretty much while he watches Star Trek or Star Wars or anything else.
Baby Yoda was the hook.
Baby Yoda was the hook. And I think that's the part about Firefly that he doesn't understand is Baby Yoda is the important aspect.
This is true.
I really like the baby... I really enjoy that they're using, like, either a similar race. I don't really think it's a clone of Yoda, but I enjoy that they're continuing with the race of the Yoda, I guess.
We don't know what the race of Yoda is called, which is why everyone calls it Baby Yoda.
Yeah,
the race of Yoda.
Yeah, so I'm happy to see that continued. And the Mandalorian's okay to me. He's not my favorite character. I like the girl, the stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Carrie doing the shock trooper?
Shock trooper. Well, you know, good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough for my standards of knowing things. And I don't know, I think she's really... I like to see confident women portrayed in media. And I like to see strong, powerful women who... who know who they are, who have an agenda, who can stand on their own two feet. So I do think that Star Wars has also done that well in The Mandalorian specifically. Because I am one of those people who kind of looks for, a strong female character, and I don't care if they're a lead. But, in Marvel, for example, Captain Marvel, they try to make her a powerful character, and then at the end, everyone has to save her butt. Basically, which wasn't my favorite. So I do like that Star Wars has done that with a female character, and it's fine that she's not a lead. I'm not at all that type of person, but it's just nice to see someone actually portray a female as a strong, powerful character who knows what she wants.
Well, speaking of strong female characters, I'm super disappointed Ming-Na Wen was only in one episode and may or may not be dead, because I love Ming-Na Wen, because she's always a super strong, badass girl in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. She was strong in that show.
I'm not really sure she's dead. I hope she's not.
I mean, I hope she's not, because, I don't know why they'd bother casting Ming-Na Wen just to kill her off in a single 30-minute episode.
I don't think they would have bothered to show someone's feet next to her if she was dead.
Yeah.
Because that's never revisited again, so I think she'll come back.
People think that's Boba Fett, because someone analyzed the sound that played, and it's the same sound that plays whenever you see him in Cloud City, whenever he comes in. To the dinner room where Vader's waiting for Han Solo at dinner time. So, people think that little, noise and music cue is the same. So people think that's Boba Fett. And if Ming-Na Wen and Boba Fett join up, that'd be awesome. I really hope that she is a bigger part in season two. Because I love her as an actress. And Kaylee and I were watching 2.5 Men. I was like, oh, that's Ming-Na Wen. She's like, who? And I'm like, oh, she's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's gonna be the Mandalorian. I can't wait to see what she's going to do. And then... she got shot after 20 minutes of seeing her. I was like, aw. She was awesome, though, that sniper rifle.
Yeah, she was really great. She was an awesome part of that episode. Yeah. And I really liked... I also liked the Prison Break episode. That was one of my favorites. I liked the characters. I liked the aspect of, a team coming together.
That's what Firefly's like, which is... Because they don't all necessarily like each other. They don't all necessarily like each other, but they have to work together, which is kind of that fun dynamic, like in the Prison Break episode. I really loved there was a Twi'lek and her brother. Like Star Wars has so many alien races. Make them main characters. I hope she comes back in season two. I hope she can be a recurring character.
She was a shit.
Yeah.
I didn't like her. I wouldn't want to see her as a main character.
I don't know. I just want to see more aliens. Because Star Wars has so many awesome alien races. And then they're just always side characters or just background characters. I'm like, make them awesome. Kaylee thought she was like Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, she's similar.
Yeah, actually, my favorite part of that episode was when the Mandalorian smashed up the guy's, hangar. That was pretty good. He blew it up.
Oh, he left the tracking beacon.
Yeah.
Oh,
in the hangar, and the X-Wings came, and they shot it up and blew it up.
See, yes. David's got the technical terms. I have the general idea.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was great. I did really like that.
That was pretty clever. I really enjoyed that.
Well, the girl Twi'lek, she was from Game of Thrones. She was like the girl who was taking care of the young Stark kids, if you didn't catch that, Holly.
The
wilder girl.
The wildling?
The wildling girl who they kidnapped, or that basically they made a stewards of the house, and she took care of the little Star kids when they ran away, season 3 or 4.
I mean, I know, I'm just trying to figure out which. You're not talking about the sister. To the, yeah, there's a brother and sister wildlings who the brother dies, and the sister stays with them. You're talking about the older one with the red hair?
Yeah, she had the sort of reddish brown hair. She was kind of like...
Yeah, she's Tonks in Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah, her. Yeah, that's her. Yeah, yeah, that was who the Twi'lek was. I figured you'd like her.
Yeah.
I figured
you'd
like
sense.
Her for the Harry Potter. And
I just didn't like the character. I really didn't like the character.
Well, she could play a different character next time.
Yeah. Well, you can. That's the great thing about prosthetics.
They had enough makeup. They had enough makeup on her. You couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
It was her.
Yeah. I had a little more say, actually. So I realized that the show is obviously more about the child than the Mandalorian and what the Empire wants to do with it. So I am curious to see where it's going to go. And now with your intel about this Darksaber, I am even more piqued. You know, I've been watching the new Star Wars films and, you know, Kaylee's not interested in Star Wars, but like even the new films for me, I watched them once and I left it at that. I really have no real desire to rewatch them.
I don't either.
And I don't know why.
Because they're not good, Holly. That's why. They're just not good. They're thoughtless, boring, heartless money grabs.
Well, this is brainchild of John Favreau. And can he do anything wrong?
Apparently not, because
he was in Friends,
yeah, which is how I also got Kayla.
That's how he got me to watch it. He's like, you know, he's in Friends.
Well, he did an amazing job with this show. Kaylee, you were saying something about, you know, this show actually being interesting and pulling you in, and maybe it's Baby Yoda. But I loved that Mando's face is only seen the one time. And I feel like the face is so expressive, and being that we don't see that the character really has to, we don't see him, see his face, so the character has to come through his body language and like his voice and their decisions. And it's like, this character is perfect for dragging you in, not because you want to see his face and you watch just to see him take his helmet off, but you just want to get to know the character under the mask. And the storyboards from each episode that run during the credits, I thought was flipping genius. And I don't know who decided that, but I absolutely love it, and it makes me so happy. I would sit there and grin and watch the storyboards at the end of every episode because I just loved it.
Yeah.
But I do. I think that being that this character was so well written and the show was so well written, it really just pulled you in, and it didn't make you feel like, oh, I'm watching a show. You were like, not that it made me think I was on his team or anything.
Right. Well, like the writing is phenomenal. I mean, some of my favorite shows, like Friends, for example, like, I love the writing. The writing, to me, like, the characters are consistent, they're well-written, and it makes sense. And I think that's the same here, is the characters are very consistent, it makes sense within the story, and it's just, everything fits together really nicely. Whereas a lot of other shows that I've seen, it's not as nice, or I just feel like it's being too repetitive. Like, with Star Trek, I teased David that the theme of TOS is Kirk does something stupid, then Spock goes to save him. Maybe Spock does something stupid, then the Doctor goes to save him. Maybe the Doctor also does something stupid, then the Scottish guy goes to save them.
And all is well with a glass of scotch at the end of the day. Yep.
And so, for this, it's not the same thing to me. Like, it did get a little boring after maybe the third episode
or fourth
episode. Yeah. But then it picked right back up, and I understood that those were setting up the future of the show, but I also like that the shows are short, the episodes are nice and succinct, so I still pay attention, and then I'm kind of left wanting more every time, whereas, like, the movies are, like, 3 hours, which is way too long for my liking, so.
That is a good point. That's a very good point. A lot of, especially with life today, life is so fast-paced, and, you know, I cannot tell you how many times during a 34-minute episode or 42-minute episode that I have to let my dogs out and back in and back out and back in. So I get it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with The Mandalorian, like, in the last episode, when Mando's, like, arguing IG-8, there's gotta be another way, like, I felt genuine human emotion. I felt sad.
Yeah.
And the problem is, like, with Star Trek Discovery and with the Star Wars movies, The only feeling I feel is annoyance, and that's not like that's not me emoting with the characters. That's me like just seeing them destroying the show. Like we see Michael Burnham crying all the time, but I never feel bad for her. I never like I'm never emoting with her because they're never giving us a reason to care. Because she's caring too hard for she's caring way too hard, and it's like it comes through as like. Ungenuine. I mean, Sonequa Martin-Green does a fantastic job acting, but the show doesn't give us enough reason to care. So when she's all crying and being melodramatic, I don't care. But like the Mandalorian episodes are short. The season's even shorter than either Discovery season by a lot, considering the episodes are even shorter than Star Trek Discovery's episodes. And I felt genuine human emotion. I haven't felt that like watching good science fiction since probably Enterprise. Since Enterprise was the most recent Star Trek show.
Well, like, I know that you don't watch Jericho, for example, but, for example, there's, like, the sheriff's office in one of the episodes, and it's glass, right? And so they're trying to break into it, and there's, like, this keypad that only so many people have access to, and they're like, there's no other way to break into it than to ask this one person. And David's like, it's glass, seriously? There's no other way? And I think that's part of the writing in The Mandalorian. Like, literally, there was no other way for them to get through unless the robot did change its programming. So I think part of it was not only characterization, but just really smart writing. Like, there wasn't a way that was clearly obvious to the viewers than the robot getting
also
destroyed.
They were stuck on a moving platform. They couldn't stop it, and they were going to get ambushed. It was the only way. It was great.
Going along with exactly what you're saying about writing, you know, Mando has a very, like I said, he's very level-headed, and he's got a very, very plain way of speaking. So maybe also because he's written to be very, you know, he doesn't speak, you know, with a lot of inflections. He's very just like to the point. Maybe because of that, when we do have these scenes that are heartfelt and sincere, and you can hear his voice go a little, you know, sad, then it really hits.
Yeah, and it's just it's night and day, and I don't know, like, it's all in the writing. Like Star Trek Discovery, that's what Aaron and you sometimes, Holly, when we are like down on Star Trek Discovery, like the acting's there, the actors are good, the special effects are there. It's the damn story. Just get some people who can write real human emotional stories and tell a good one at the same time. And that's all Star Trek Discovery needs to be successful. And they haven't done that yet. I hope they do it with season 3. I hope they do it with Picard coming out. Next week, our next episode will be the first episode of Picard. I'm so excited for that. I hope the writing is emotional and good, and they make me care about the characters, and they don't cry and hope I cry with them because the character's crying. Like, earn it. Like, when the episode where they killed Arya, they didn't earn it because they were playing so hard on bringing her in, like, giving her a story because they were going to kill her that same episode. I'm like, well, that's too little too late. Like, you didn't treat her right. You should have made me care about her a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And they, I don't know, IG. And IG was such a funny character. Like, self-destruct initiated, and then, like, he comes back, and he's, like, taking care of the kid, and then he's like, I have to go. And he's like, no, don't go! And, like, especially since, you know, the Mandalorian's been, like, hard on robots the entire time, and all of a sudden he's got a soft spot for a robot, finally.
Yep.
It's just...
The one person who's seen him, well, I say person, the one thing that's ever seen him, you know. Yeah. Although, speaking of writing, though, and speaking of being seen, I didn't like how in the episode where they're at the village, he takes his helmet off and he sets it next to the window, and he's just standing there next to the window, looking out. Like, all these kids could just look up and see your face, Mando. I didn't like that. I was like, really?
You couldn't see he was holding his hand in front of his face as he was eating.
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Or he had the blinds pulled so that you could just see his neck.
I don't think so.
It's like the guy from Home Improvement. It's just the reverse.
Yeah. You can only see his neck and down.
Oh my god. Yeah. There's going to be a really bad spin-off movie about this now.
The Mandalorian, yeah. That's a really weird fence. You can only see his neck down. You can never see his eyes or his mouth or his nose.
Right.
Oh, man. So what if he's naked? That'd be great. You can't walk around your backyard naked anymore. Damn it.
Right.
Because you know the guy in Home Improvement was totally doing that.
Because you know what?
The guy in Home Improvement was totally
naked
doing
behind
that.
The fence. Just Rick couldn't see it.
There was at least one episode where he's naked.
All of them. Or at least bottomless. Sure.
No, most of the time you get to see him into his yard anyway.
Yeah. Hope there's not a hole in the fence.
Or a dog.
Dog wants some wiener.
That's why he's always over there. He's like, all right.
Yeah. He likes splinters, I guess.
Okay. Whoa, so far off track.
All right.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian.
I didn't listen to the other episodes that you guys did. I didn't want to be influenced by them or anything spoiled. So
at the end of the season, I can't wait for season 2. It's the best Star Wars since 1983, since Return of the Jedi. It's better than the prequels. It's better than any of the other Star Wars shows that have been out, in my opinion. It's better than the sequel movies.
It's great.
I hope Jon Favreau becomes king of Lucasfilm and is able to oversee the new movies so they'll be good instead of the hot garbage they've been.
Yeah.
Because at the end of The Rise of Skywalker, my feeling on Star Wars movies is complete apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the movies did nothing to advance the plot of Star Wars. As terrible as the prequels were, they told a story. The movies were awful and they're hard to watch, but it told a story about the fall of the Republic, the rise of the Empire, the fall of the Jedi, and there was no Death Stars, and that was great. I mean, they had the one being built that was going to be in A New Hope, but that was fine. And then we had the original trilogy, which told its story, and then the new trilogy. They introduce new characters, they bring the Emperor back, and they kill the Emperor again. There's no Jedi Order. And so narratively, we're in the same spot as we were at the end of Return of the Jedi. Nothing has changed. The Emperor's dead, there's basically no Jedi, and that's it. Like, you did nothing in 3 movies. But kill off all the old characters.
Right.
Wow. Thanks, Disney, for killing all my characters and not doing anything interesting with them or setting up a new story. You just basically, we told the second trilogy.
I mean kids love it.
I mean, yeah, but it's Star Wars in action. But I'm looking at it from a narrative standpoint.
I get it.
The first trilogy told the story, the second trilogy, the original trilogy told the story, and this one just treaded water.
It feels like they made the last movie, they made it a lot darker, too, with the big bad guy.
The Emperor?
Yes, the Emperor boy. He's kind of dark for a child, I feel like. And if they continue along like the dark path, I'm not sure that it's going to be as...
The third movie in all the 3 trilogies were the darkest.
Yeah.
They all ended up being a little bit darker. I just hope Jon Favreau takes the reins and can keep doing no harm, because, you know, I'll be a lot more excited to see future Star Wars movies if he's producing them, writing them, directing them.
Yeah. I know he was producer for The Lion King, but I don't know who was directing the voice actors, but I absolutely hated the audio, the way that the characters were portrayed in the Lion King remake. But the film was beautiful, and he was at the reins of that.
I mean, I didn't see the Lion King. Although I don't really care about Disney's remakes so much. I do like how he played Happy in the Iron Man and Avengers movies. I like how he directed Iron Man 1 and 2. I think he produced a lot of the Marvel movies, even though he wasn't director on them. I think he was a producer on a bunch of them. So, I mean, he's had his hand in a lot of the Marvel success, and Marvel movies have been, for the most part, good to great. And only a couple of them have been, like, bad to terrible. In my mind. So, I mean, the Marvel movies have been doing really good, and he's had his hand in that. So, you know, no one's going to be perfect all the time, but he's got a better track record than Kathleen Kennedy. So.
Who's Kathleen Kennedy?
She's the one who's in charge of Lucasfilm right now.
Oh, I see.
Who's been running the new trilogy into the ground.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you see that they're making a Baby Yoda plushie at Build-A-Bear?
I did.
I need it.
Certainly did. It is very cute.
It's really cute.
It's very cute. And it's interesting that we learned that it ages very differently than other species.
It does.
Yeah.
It's 50 years old, and it's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And look how much power it has.
Right.
At this age. And, like, I don't know, it's just crazy. Because it doesn't even have, like, that much of an understanding if it's still in infancy.
Mm-hmm. I think someone
got all this power.
Someone did the math, and, like, Yoda's, like, barely 30 when he's 900 years old. Like, developmentally, he's only, like, in his 30s.
Oh, wow.
Which really sucks.
Interesting.
Well, because I think, I can't remember the exact math, but I think they're assuming Baby Yoda's 18 months old or 2 years old or something at this point. So just the math on 50 years divided by 900 years is how old he is, times whatever, how old you think Baby Yoda is, and you get like late 20s, mid 30s or something like that. It's pretty funny.
When you guys were talking about in the episode how the robot brings the baby to the fight and how you're like, well, that's the best place for him. But, like, in my mind, the robot, like, knew that the baby had powers. And so, in my mind, it was the smartest decision because where better to put a magic thing with lots of power?
This is true.
Fight. And it's programmed as a nurse bot, but it also technically was nursing Mando. So the best place for the baby to be protecting Mando, because that is what the baby has been doing, would be with Mando. And I'm sure the robot figured out things were pretty bad, and so Mando was going to need a little help and assistance, and that would definitely be the best place for the baby. And then when it decided to deliver karma personally back to Flame Guy,
return to sender.
Flame Guy.
Yeah.
The Human Torch from Fantastic Four, flame on.
Yeah. he was incinerated pretty quickly. But, the episodes before had shown how quickly the baby's power runs out from it being just a baby. And so I think that's probably why the baby decided that the fire might have been a more immediate risk. And then instead of healing Mando, because the IG robot could have healed him, or he could have technically, if he wanted to break his code, accepted help, or maybe even gotten to his female armorer to help. So I think the baby just took the more immediate risk.
Give me CPR, lady armorer. Some
karma back at Flame Boy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I kind of love when Baby Yoda uses the Force. It makes me very happy inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So, like, the moral of the story is Jon Favreau is doing awesome. We all want Mandalorian Season 2, and it's not coming till fall of 2020. I guess fall of this year, 2020. So, we've got, like, 9 to 10 months. 9 to 10 months, probably. Because, of course, it'll probably get pushed back. All the good things are getting pushed back. Final Fantasy VII's getting pushed back this year.
But that's for PS5, probably. Yeah,
I know. And Cyberpunk's getting pushed back. All these good things are getting pushed back, so I wouldn't be surprised if they pushed back this. Mm-hmm. Also, Disney Plus canceled the Hawkeye TV show, which I'm not really surprised.
Oh, because, did they?
Because Jeremy Renner's been getting in trouble in the news in his personal life, so I bet they're regretting killing Black Widow versus Hawkeye. They should have killed Hawkeye.
Doing Black Widow's origin movie.
I who cares? They killed her. I mean, I want.
You don't care about people who are dead, David? What's wrong with you?
No, they mean nothing to me anymore. No, it's just like, I mean, they should have had her introduction, her solo movie, like when she was still alive, like back when it mattered. Now it doesn't seem like it matters, unless they're bringing her back. And if that's the case, that's fine. That'll be great. But I mean, she's a comic book character. They always bring him back. So let's bring her back.
I am a little sick of the whole nobody's ever really dead bullshit.
No one's ever really
dead. That happens in Hollywood.
Did you watch that video that I said that I put on Facebook, our Facebook group? No one's ever really gone. Because Red Letter Media did a video like of like all these people dying in Star Wars, and they go, and the guy goes, "No one's ever really gone." All of them. I'll have to send it to you.
It's kind of like the soap operas. No one's ever really gone in those either. Yeah. My grandpa watches YNR, and I only tune in whenever I'm home at 12:30. Which is not very often. Just, I think it's on from 12:30 to 1:30. And he watches it every single day, Monday through Friday. And I swear, I'll, like, every single time, the one episode I saw last, like, someone was dead. And then I come back, and they're magically alive again. And I'm like, didn't they kill that person? He's like, oh, yeah, three times. I was like, what?
I'm not quite dead. It's like Princess Bride. Slightly dead is mostly alive. I mean, mostly dead is slightly alive.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that was great. I think that's all we got to say about The Mandalorian. It's a great show. We want more.
I hope season two has more episodes. Like, I hope the eight episodes of this was, like, a test run or pilot, and then the next season is, like, 12 or more.
Honestly, I think they were trying to get it out because they knew The Rise of Skywalker was going to be hot garbage. Because, I mean, I think, I mean, like, just they lost a lot of fan goodwill with the Last Jedi. And I think they were trying to beat the new movie out with the show so that they could have some goodwill going forward in case people hated the new movie. So I think they did a good job because I haven't heard anyone really hate the show. I've watched a bunch of YouTube videos about it. Most people seem to think it's okay or to think it's great. And I don't think anyone, like, really, really hates it. I'm sure someone does. I just haven't seen anyone, like, hate on it too hard.
Hey, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Kaylee, for joining us.
I feel like we kind of breezed through this because I have a tendency to, like, skip things, but sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're good. Did you have anything else to say about it?
I really loved that the intro was very short. You know, if you, like, aren't counting the recap, the intro is, like, 10 seconds long.
Yeah, it's just like the different helmets lining up.
Yeah. I loved that. You know, the intro can always be a good time to, like, go get another cup of coffee or, you know, go for a walk, depending on the intro. So it's nice that it's only, like,
10 seconds.
Like 10 seconds long.
That's pretty good.
I absolutely loved it.
Well, Kaylee gave us some of her hopes and dreams for next season. Do you have any hopes and dreams for next season?
No, not really. I don't know. I really hope people stop trying to double cross him.
I got a question to ask you, Holly. You seem like you super weren't interested in the show. Did you kind of have a 180 once you got to watch it? Because you seemed like at first you were like, he didn't seem like you really wanted to watch it. So, like, did watching it, like, make you like it more? Or
so the reason I just didn't want to watch it initially with everyone else was because first of all, Michael doesn't like watching it, so being that he just got back from deployment and we want to spend as much time together, it wasn't on my priority list as something to sit down and watch, because time to watch stuff is time to do things together. That was one. And then as soon as Baby Yoda was in the picture, it was like Baby Yoda fever. And I was just like, I am not jumping on this bandwagon. Y'all can go to your corner. I'm going to stay in mine. And so it was just like,
resistance is futile, Holly.
I resisted. And honestly, I didn't feel like I was missing anything because I didn't like the other films that have been coming out recently. So, watch season two. I loved this show from the very first music you hear that is so Western and so spacey at the same time. That's like,
so you did end up loving the show.
Well, yeah, I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I just didn't want to,
You had to prioritize things.
True. This is true.
The Mando, like, kind of speaks to your martial arts past, too. I think he kind of embodies the spirit.
With your, you know, morals and ethics and living by a code. And, yeah, very true.
And I think that's honorable and yeah. he always sticks to his story, and that reminded me a lot of you when I watched the show, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so Holly Michelle.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment. I'm going to get it etched on my grave. Holly is the Mandalorian.
Holly and Michelle, the Mando.
Are you going to get the Mudhorn on your gravestone as well?
Or
the Mandalorian signet.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe I'll get that on my as my first tattoo.
Sounds good.
Planet 2.
On your butt?
No, I would get it in true fashion on the front of my shoulder.
Yeah, I was like, didn't he have it on his deltoid?
Yeah, deltoid. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, Holly and Kaylee, for coming on talking to The Mandalorian. Both your first times talking about Mandalorian. It's great.
Yeah.
Kaylee's first time talking on here at all.
At all, yeah. Her first time.
Yeah, I'm so used to being quiet, but also I don't know any of the names. Names just don't stick in my head. No matter how much David tries to explain things to me, he'll use their names, and I tell him he has to talk stupid to me because I will never remember.
Or he's going to call them names from a different show, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I just call them their real name, like Carl Weathers.
So,
right.
So, I out-tricked David the other day, which he probably hasn't told you about.
Nope.
So, I was like, David, do you know the Brains episode in Star Trek? And he was like, the
Spock's
Brains.
Brain?
And I was like, that's no, the Brains. Thinking. And he was like, no, there are no other Brains. And I'm like, yes, there are Brains. So, I looked up Brains.
She Googled Star Trek Brains fighting.
And
she got the Gamesters or Triskelion.
Which is exactly what I was talking about.
Which I know that episode for the Lady Gaga lookalike with the fake inflatable boobs. And the Lady Gaga meme, but I forgot about the little Brains who were like running the show. You only see them for like 5 seconds at the end of the episode. I was like, oh,
yeah,
I forgot about them.
The protectors or whatever. The Brains. But see, I don't have the terms because I just get a general knowledge of things, which is why I'm pretty useless. I've gotten Baby Yoda down.
But right. She's like, you out-tracked you, and I have to tell people about it on your show.
I made him watch the episode again.
We should talk about that episode, because I think it'd be kind of funny, but also, like, it's so melodramatic, it hurts. It's kind of painful. But, like, it's very painful. I mean, it's, like, melodramatic even for TOS. It's kind of painful, but it's good. It's got some funny things in it, so.
He hated it.
Oh, man.
Oh boy.
I out-trekked him and I got him.
Good for you.
Thank you. I was so proud of myself.
Making a fool of me.
Well, honestly, the names just, like, because I haven't grown up with sci-fi and I haven't grown up with gaming or anything like that. So the names that don't come off to me as, like, human or as something I would remember.
Oh, well, she gets Doom.
Doom I remember, but I don't remember what the bad guys are called.
I don't remember what they're all called. I just know the imps.
Yeah. And so, for me, it's really hard to put that in my brain as something I can remember. I can remember every Latin name of every muscle in your body, but I can't remember the name of sci-fi characters.
Well, you also don't write them down and study them like you do the different muscles. If you studied games and sci-fi like you studied muscles, you'd get them.
Maybe.
You just don't feel like devoting that time, because that's hard work, and you've got to say that for school.
Yeah, I guess.
Enjoy your break.
I also get
really... You know, Kaylee.
What?
What?
I was just saying I get really immersed in TV shows when I watch them, and so it's kind of like I'm a player. Like, I definitely have that experience where you get really immersed, and so I definitely become like a player in the show. Like, I feel like I'm part of it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's not so much like I'm focusing on what I'm watching. I feel like I'm kind of in the show. And so I recognize by faces and things like that. And so it's not, I don't usually pick up on the name.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, I'm the same way. We remember when we were doing our Magicians podcast that never aired. Yeah. We did 2 seasons, folks. I would still forget Julia's name. And look at it, I'd look at Kaylee, and I'd be like, the fuck's her name?
I like sweater. I like sweater glasses girl.
Alice.
Yes.
Sweater glasses. See,
sweater glasses girl.
See, I got the names of the human people. Like, I got Margo and Alice and Josh and, oh my gosh, Holly Michelle. So,
yes.
In Jericho.
Reynard the Fox is in Jericho.
Only one episode.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy, too, and it's really weird to watch. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Reynard.
See, you do know names.
But he is really creepy, and that's why I remember.
Oh, yeah. And Kenneth Mitchell, Cole himself from Star Trek Discovery Season 1 and Cole Shaw in Discovery Season 2 is one of the main characters in Jericho. So if anyone wants to catch up on Kenneth Mitchell's other work, Jericho is pretty good.
Or if you want to see Reynard the Fox being just as creepy. Honestly, I feel bad for that actor because I will never see him any different.
Just a creepy fuck.
Pretty much.
I don't know what else he's in, but we may have to look into this.
I've seen him in, I think, two things now. And I've, like, immediately screamed to David. I'm like, it's Reynard. It's Reynard.
PTSD moment.
Oh, no.
It really is true. It's sad. He is an actor I will not forget.
We've Reynard the Foxhold all over the place this episode, guys.
Yes. So many foxholes.
Aren't they rabbit holes?
They're rabbit holes. They're black holes.
Foxes dig holes?
We change it up every once in a while. We got black holes. We got rabbit holes. Now we have fox holes.
We have brain pain. Brain pain.
Brain pain.
No, but seriously, do foxes dig holes?
I don't know. Probably. They have to hide from the hound. Because there is a movie, The Fox and the Hound.
They must. I'm sure that that term came from somewhere.
Huh. Oh, foxhole. I think foxhole is like the military term.
I'm sure foxhole. It came from foxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing, I'm sure.
Okay. It is a thing because...
Just like elephant holes.
I have spoken.
I have spoken elephant holes.
Oh my gosh. So my mom wanted me to make... We were watching this show, and my mom had asked me to make a dish for Christmas, and the dish I was thinking about, she was just not into or whatever, and so I was going to bed, and I went to bed later, and I was going to leave her a note on the kitchen table of, like, what I had decided to make, and I was going to make a vegan dish for my family, because we do have a vegan, and I'm lactose intolerant, and one of my cousins is as well, and vegan things don't have dairy, so... If I was going to make something dairy-free, it would be silly not to make it vegan. So she could eat something.
Yeah.
I had a job. So I'm writing down this note, and I decide on my own I'm making something vegan, even though my mom was like, you don't have to do that. And so I write this on the bottom, and I told David, I was like, at the bottom, I should have written, I have spoken.
Yeah.
You should have, but your mom wouldn't have gotten the joke. She never watched it.
She wouldn't have gotten the joke, and she probably would not have taken it well.
No.
I have spoken. No.
I thought it was pretty great, though.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. We really appreciate it. You can find the show online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. You can join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/syntholics. Check out our Patreon if you want to donate to the show. We'd appreciate it to keep the lights on, the podcast ball rolling. And thank you all for listening and joining us. And we'll be back next week with Picard, Episode 1.
And I'll be back to playing Doom.
All right.
I'm not excited at all.
You don't sound like it. I heard you step on a mouse.
Yeah.
All right. We'll live long and prosper. One and all. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll blow shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Ah, you're supposed to say, live long and prosper, we have spoken.
Live long and prosper, we have spoken. I will self-destruct up your butt.
I will self-destruct. Oh, boy.
You're right.
Sometimes, David.
I hadn't gotten a good butt joke in there. Come on, guys.
Honestly, Holly and Michelle, I almost lost it when you were talking about them exposing themselves. I was like, be quiet, Kaylee, be quiet, Kaylee.
No, you're supposed to say inappropriate things.
This but she was trying joke. To talk, and I was trying to be polite. But she was also talking about people exposing themselves.
You should.
Which is really hard to slide past. Also,
it's for some... very...
It's really funny. Like, when we play Tetris... When we play Tetris... I can't process dirty jokes when I play Tetris. I get so focused on it. So she'll tell a dirty joke and she'll get upset that I... But the thing is, per capita, she tells way more dirty jokes while we play Tetris than any other time. So, like, I can never appreciate them because I'm too busy playing Tetris. Like, Tetris, like, whatever, it zaps my mind, it makes me tired, it makes me sleepy. I get so focused on it, I can't concentrate on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
She'll whip out a boob and I won't even know.
Right.
And then when I do know, I lose the game. I lose the game anyway half the time because she's gotten really good. But
I don't like losing. So in Doom, I'm trying to learn first person shooter games. I'm a new shooter game, really, third person or first person.
Well, I know Cyber Demon and Baron of Hell because they shoot the green stuff.
Yeah, the Baron dude, I don't like him. I also don't like the fat guys, whatever they're called. But so people probably also hate me who play Doom now. So I'm trying. I generally like this game, but it feels like you can get like weapon upgrades to make you more effective. And I haven't really gotten very many because I feel like in the first few levels I accidentally like went too direct through the level, didn't explore enough.
Uh-huh.
And so like now I feel underpowered for like where I am. So I was like banging my head against a wall trying to play Doom. And I was just not succeeding, and I kept dying over and over and over again. And I was like, David, help. And so he took the controller, and he beats it without dying once. And
she had just died, like, 30 times.
So I felt very awful. And so I was like, we need to play Tetris so I can beat you and feel better about myself. So then we played Tetris, and I beat him a bunch of times.
Doom's just a game you just have to keep moving. Like, you just can't stop, because if you stop, you get shot. So you said you just run in circles until you kill everything.
But I can't orient myself. I have trouble, like, unless I stop to orient myself, and then I die. Via getting stopped upon by a Baron of Hell. Which is not a pleasant experience.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound good.
No, it's not, and it generally leads to a lot of cursing.
Yeah, she also she curses way more when she plays Doom, and then she tells a lot more sex jokes whenever we play Tetris. I don't understand what the connection is with Tetris and sex jokes.
I just think it makes my brain sharper.
Well, like, Tetris is a puzzle, and things go into other things.
Exactly. See? And David just runs into them. He was like, he was saying something. He walked into a joke the other day. He was, like, saying how he's never good at things the first time or whatever like that. And I was like, well, I'm glad I'm not that girl. And he didn't get it at all.
I had to make it repeat it in between matches.
Oy, oy, oy.
I swear. But like, I cannot...
that's the brain. The brain is crazy. Sometimes, like, whenever David has me, or David or Aaron, have me do the recap, and if they say something, like... funny, in the middle of me reading something, I don't hear what they say.
Yeah.
It's really funny. She'll go back and edit it, and then she'll still send me a message. She's like, I can't believe you said this, and I didn't hear it, because it's like, it's so funny.
Yeah. There are some times when there deserves to be a good laugh, and then I'm like, and I don't hear it, and it's like, God damn it.
Well, in the recap, I was just focusing on so hard on what in the world their names were.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is the bad guy's name?
Well, but while I was trying to get set up, I was also trying to recap the episode with Kaylee so she knew what we were going to talk about. And she's like, I can't remember exactly what happened in the last two episodes.
Well, yeah.
I know the events, and, like, in my head, like, I just catalog information, so, like, bad guy is bad guy. And, like, good girgirl, good strong guy, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Various other bad guys. Harley Quinn bad guy and Harley Quinn bad guy brother. Guy that's kind of... So, like, that episode to me was very, like, Suicide Squad, if you've ever seen that movie.
No, I kind of refused to watch it.
So, you should at least, like, look up the character, like, the character pictures.
I know what they look like.
Yeah, so, like, Will Smith plays the sniper.
Deadshot?
Yes. Snipey guy. And so...
gun shooting guy. Shoot gun guy.
But then the guy in the prison break was just like the shooty guy.
He was the not guy. A shooty
guy. Oh, the bald guy?
No.
With the gun on his shoulder?
No, the other guy. Not the brother and sister, but the other guy.
Hale. The leader?
David Hale.
The strong guy?
Look, help.
All right, start your sentence over. Maybe I can help.
So, there's, in the prison break scene, you know the people who were breaking into the prison?
Yes.
You know how there's the Harley Quinn girl, then the Harley Quinn brother, who's kind of like the Joker, and then there's the other guy, who's like...
The Demononian or whatever, who's the muscle.
He's...
There's the leader.
The leader dude.
He's the bald guy.
Not in the hangar.
Yeah. He's bald. He just has, got facial hair.
He's the bald guy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the bald guy in the hangar.
No, he's the bald guy with the guns. He had the gun on his shoulder.
He's just like
the bald guy.
He's just like the sniper guy from Suicide Squad.
The bald guy. Okay, in the hangar.
And like Deadshot?
What? Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
And then the big guy there, the grunt guy, he's just like the other guy from Suicide Squad. The guy who swims in the sewers.
The guy who swims in the sewers.
Killer Croc.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I did it.
I did it! Oh, boy. It was really fun talking with you on the show, Kaylee.
Thanks.
I don't shit. Nope.
So... We are recording.
How do I open this, Steven?
With your thumbs.
What's this button for?
Nothing. You just do this.
Right, I'm just going to move a little closer.
It's a lie. The button's a lie.
David's water bottle is booby-trapped.
But it has no actual boobies.
Does it? I have a beer koozie for Michael that has boobies on it.
What?
And it's called a boobsy. It's a can koozie, and it's got boobs on it.
Oh, that's awesome. I need one of those.
I'll look for one for you.
He has a boob mouse.
I have a boob mouse pad, yes.
Oh, I was going to say, a boob mouse? That's going to be interesting. Like, your fingers are elevated, like ape hangers for your fingers.
Well, each nipple's the button, so it's just...
Interesting.
I have never seen one. This has got to be a thing. But no, it's a booby mouse pad. Your wrist rests on the boobs. It's getting old. I need to get a new one.
I'm sure that's a thing.
Oh, they were selling it at the convention here.
Yeah.
All right. So let me stop this and start a new file. I guess you're going to do the start, Holly.